Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
I think we're targeting improvements to the team. You know, obviously, we're going to Sarasota soon. Very excited about that. Really like where the team is at presently. I think we've got a great team in the American League East this year. It's going to be in the thick of the division title chase. The trade market sometimes happens very late. I can't forecast that or handicap it, but there's still those possibilities.
Pretty confident. I'm excited for spring training to get out and start playing games and facing live pitching. I'm excited the progress that I've made this offseason and the experience that I had last year. So pretty confident.
Pretty cool. I mean, it was way back there for them to finally move it back in. I'm just happy to see what it looks like. A good feeling knowing that you can pull the ball again and get good results out of it. So hopefully I can, and we'll see what happens.
It's Ryan Mountcastle, first baseman for your Baltimore Orioles, talking about the dimension change. Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where the walls are moving in. Not to the previous move back dimensions, but kind of somewhere in between. And we talked to Andy Koski yesterday, and since they moved it out, he's been victimized, if you want to call it that, more than anyone else. Of course, he plays there more than anybody else, but this is a guy, Ryan Mountcastle's got all field power, but can be pull heavy, so he's excited about it, and we're all excited about it. And Ryan Mountcastle last year in 127 games hit 13 homers, 63 driven in. And he's one of these guys that when he gets hot, he can carry you for an extended period of time. But you look at the last couple of years, even in 23, he missed time with vertigo, then hurt his shoulder and missed time as he was getting hot. Again, I was at the game where he swung, shoulder kind of popped out. He missed a couple of weeks, but in between, he was sizzling hot. This guy hit 33 home runs as a rookie, which is an Orioles record. So he's got pop, and which gets lost, I guess, a lot of times in his declining power numbers in the last couple of years being hurt. He's a Gold Glove finalist 2 years in a row at first base. Drafted as a shortstop. Moved to third base. Then they tried him in left field, which we saw at the major league level. Not the smoothest transition, but at first base, he's become a dude. And Ryan Ripken, who played first base at the professional level, Mike Bordick, who was a brilliant defensive shortstop, throws to first baseman, talking about how great he had become, especially in the scoop aspect of things. So he reinvented himself defensively. But his calling card has always been a guy that can produce runs. So not only the wall moving back, which got Aaron Judge whining, who he hits it out of Yosemite Park, but it affected him. But injuries, to me, have been maybe one of the main reasons that we've seen the power drop. Wall, no deniability here that has affected him. But as I said, and Nolan get in here too, He can hit to all fields. He can hit with power to right center. He can yank it over the wall. Ryan Mountcastle's got all fields power, but obviously he got domed up, Ryan Ripken word, by the inability. It's a 400-foot blast to left field, and the left fielder's catching it right in front of the wall. You know what I mean? So it had to affect him to some level.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it, in my opinion. And I'd agree with you. I can't solely put everything on just the left field wall. Now, since they initially made those changes a couple years ago, StatCast says that he's lost 11 home runs, that he hit fly balls out there that would have been a home run under the old dimensions that are no longer a home run. So 11, that's pretty substantial, even though it is spread across a few seasons. But when I look at last year, his splits between home and road actually played 63 road games to 61 home games last year, had about 20 more plate appearances on the road than at home last year, hit 8 homers at home, 5 on the road. So if the left field wall is really hurting him, why wasn't he producing on the road in other ballparks that not all of them are hitter friendly, but maybe more so than Camden Yards or for a right-handed batter at least? I just can't put it all on the left field wall. There's more here, like you said. The injuries, the confidence, it's all part of it.
Yeah, the thing is confidence in any sport. You know, if you're feeling it, you're feeling good, then all of a sudden the ball seems to be jumping out of the park. But, you know, if not, if in doubt, you know, you're struggling. I mean, look at Rutschman and some of those other guys. I mean, when you're hot, man. And the thing I like about Mountcastle the best is that dude, he wasn't a great infielder, first baseman. And then he became and he is a very good defensive, like you talk about, Bob, the scoops and stuff, man. He makes some plays over there at first base. Awesome plays.
Gold Glove finalist 2 years in a row. But wall aside, 2023, played 115 games, still hit 18 homers. And then last year, .124. I think injuries have played a part in this as well for Ryan Mountcastle. This was a guy, and we'll talk to Danielle Allentuck later in the show, from the Baltimore Banner, that was maybe perceived to be a trade candidate because they have Coby Mayo waiting in the wings. We don't know what Coby Mayo is going to be. He's like Mountcastle 2.0. Very similar in skill set. All right. Massive power. Positionless, if you will. As Mountcastle has become a top-level defensive first baseman. I don't know what Coby Mayo could do. At least when Mountcastle first came up, you could see. He's like, dude, this guy can hit. Coby Mayo was like, 1, 2, 3, you're out. Right. 1, 2, 3, yeah. You're out. So I don't know. Everybody loves him. Padres wanted him. He's still one of the top prospects in baseball. But any room at the end for him to come to fruition this year? Like, Kerstad, it's put up or shut up time for him. Mayo, are we still waiting another year? Because Mountcastle is a free agent after this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would hope that he gets even more extended at-bats in spring. Whatever workload you were planning on giving him, give him even more. I mean, just give him all the young guys, really. I mean, Jackson Holliday, get him going. I mean, try to get these guys as many reps as possible before the regular season rolls around, because the opportunities just aren't going to be there. If everyone's healthy, Coby Mayo's not in the starting lineup every day. That's just a fact with the way the roster is constructed. So his opportunities once the regular season gets here could be reduced to pinch hitting, maybe one start a week, maybe. And you saw how detrimental that was to a guy like Heston Kerstad. Not having that consistency, it starts to work against you. So I just hope that he gets as many reps as possible here this spring.
I don't even think he's coming north with the team. Oof, Coby Mayo.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Well, yeah. The thing is, with spring training at bat, I mean, look at Holliday was great in spring training last year. Then he came up and, like, you know, when you get the real pitchers and, you know, and they're trying and they got game plans and everything else, then it becomes, like, who's really a hitter?
And then he went back to Norfolk and was wearing everybody. I mean, yeah. Kerstad, I mean, it's Norfolk's AAA softball or slow-pitch softball to Kerstad. But we also heard from Jackson Holliday. Year ago at this time, he's the number one prospect in all of baseball. Last year in 60 games, 190 plate appearances, took him forever to get his first hit. He had a .289, .255 on base percentage. OPS was a very pedestrian .565. He did hit five homers, a couple of triples, and some doubles. But I'm going to go ahead and go amateur psychologist here. I think the position change defensively maybe messed with him a little bit, because he was a touted as a shortstop, drafted as a shortstop, number one prospect as a shortstop. Well, Gunnar Henderson's better. Now you have to adjust. Now, does he move to left field? Can he play third base? Because he's not going to be the shortstop for the Orioles anytime soon. But his bloodline speaks volumes. His old man was a multiple-time All-Star. His brother might be the number one pick in this year's draft. He's going to be hitting. Question is, can he adjust enough defensively to be an asset for them in the infield?
If I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet, Bob, that he's going to make as much improvement as anybody. Because if you're the number one pick, you trained and worked your ass. It's not just you just showed up and you're the number one pick. You got to work and
you're
train.
You're 1-1.
Yes. So, and like you said, his dad, I'll bet you, because he's embarrassed. I mean, he's never had adversity. And how do you handle the adversity? I'm guessing the dude that was 1-1 is back there hitting. He's working on everything. And he's going to be a much better second baseman. And he's going to be a better hitter. I'll bet you he was at home training and can't wait to get here to show everybody what he's all about.
Your impressions of Holiday now compared to where they were? Have you lost confidence in him being the next dude? Because Rutschman, we're talking about not only number one picks. I mean, Gunnar was a second round pick, ascended to the number one prospect. Rutschman's an All-Star twice. Gunnar's Rookie of the Year All-Star. So they've lived up to that status. Any concerns that Holiday will not be the next guy to do that?
None at all. He's played 60 games, the major league level.
Correct.
I mean, it's just that's nothing. It's barely even scratching the surface. So I was more surprised by the defensive struggles. I think we kind of took that for granted and say, oh, you just move him over there, he'll be fine. You know, he's young, he's moldable. But you're right. I think that, you know, you get out there and your first couple at bats, all right, strikeout. All right, let me go get it done in the field. And then all of a sudden, nope, overthrow, boot one here. Now it's spiraling on you. I can't do anything. I can't even help the team, and they need me here. So I'm expecting tremendous growth, no doubt.
What do you think, people? 410-583-1057. Tomorrow, pitchers and catchers report to Sarasota. A lot of them already there. Mike Elias will meet with the media, so we'll get to hear from him. Last couple years usually starts with some bad news about injuries. Hopefully we avoid that sort of dilemma. Again, Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner will be joining us at 11:30. Ravens offseason has been, quite frankly, been going on for almost a month now since they lost to Buffalo. But we're going to start breaking them down and how they take that next level. We're going to start getting into, like, way too early dirty dozens and all that fun stuff. Have the Ravens in the top three, and I think that's appropriate. But we'll start talking about that more. Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, ranked number 25 in both polls. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Our other Tuesday, Kevin Ostreicher, talks Ravens at 11 o'clock. From the USA Today, Ravens Wire, point of fun. But get in here. Sports at 583-1057. It's starting up Tuesday. We're rocking here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them.
Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vince Rotter, Nolan McGraw. Talking about the Orioles, first segment of the show as tomorrow, pitchers and catchers. Orioles, as we talked about last week, Pecota rankings, who historically have been unkind to the Orioles, have them actually winning the American League East. Do the Orioles have another move up their sleeve before they open the season late March against the Blue Jays? Remains to be seen. Talk about that with Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner. At the 11:30 portion of the show, Kevin Willard, head coach, University of Maryland. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes, as a matter of fact. Talk about Terps going to Nebraska, the win this past Sunday against Rutgers, Super Bowl Sunday. Derek Queens, brilliant performance. The sickness that's going through the program is Kapari, the trainer. Others come. Ace Bailey had the flu on the bench for the Scarlet Knights, so hopefully that has moved on. Nebraska's won 4 in a row. They gave Maryland all they could handle back in January. So not an easy task for the Terps by any stretch of the imagination. We'll get into all of that. Terps ranked number 25 in both polls. But the Ravens offseason began. And now the regular season Super Bowl over. Philly, congratulations again for your brilliant, well-earned accomplishment. But and we're going to start. Vinny's going to do his dirty dozen way too early tomorrow. Ravens are in it. As we said yesterday, ESPN Bet has them and the Chiefs as the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. But we know they're going to be good. And we've talked about Vinny multiple times, and Nolan and our listeners, that this might be on paper with, we expect, necessary additions, might be the best team they've had since Lamar Jackson was drafted as quarterback of the team. So we know they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate question is, how do they get over the playoff hump? Because they have, unfortunately, because of their regular season success, individual honors, multiple MVPs for Lamar, Pro Bowlers at the yin-yang year in and year out, division titles. I mean, that's all great. They've been there, done that.
Yep.
How do they take it to the next level where in February next year, 2026, we're going to be doing a Super Bowl preview show for the Ravens against insert opponent, Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara. That's the one thing that we try to put our finger on, but roster depth? Is it a problem? Cap situation, I guess. But Vinny, as we sit here today, and we'll get into offensive players who were great, can they maintain, and others that need to step up when we get the news from the Nest. But we look at this roster, what's preventing them from getting to the Super Bowl?
Bob, what made the Eagles? The Eagles in the playoffs, Bob, plus 12. Plus 12. You know, the Ravens for the season were plus 6. And Buffalo was what? Plus 24. Playmakers on defense. Creating turnovers on defense. You know, I don't think they got many fumbles. They had 12 interceptions is all for the season. So they need some more playmakers on defense. And what creates that? What created it for Philly? Pressure on the quarterback, you know, and, you know, the Ravens finished second in sacks, but win rates and those types of things, they're not creating, you know, individual, I'm beating him one-on-one and you got to worry about that guy one-on-one. I don't know that they have that guy that defensively, you know, a Myles Garrett, a Crosby, you know, those types of guys that you're really afraid. And I don't think Kansas City has that either. You know, whereas, you know, Philly, because of the inside, the thing that, you know, helps the Ravens is, you know, Travis Jones has got to step it up. Madubuike has got to step it up. So they're getting doubled like Jalen Carter gets doubled. And those guys are getting singled on the outside. And then you can win. That's what they need, a guy that can win one on one, because the inside guys are going to be good enough that you're going to get singled on the outside.
Nolan, what do you think? If there's a missing ingredient to the Ravens not getting through Buffalo or Kansas City, what is it?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint something that's so glaring when, I mean, you look at the manner that they're losing in the playoffs. You know, a drop pass that's right in your stomach. And I'm not trying to, you know, beat up on Mark Andrews here any more than he already has been this offseason, but that's what it was. If he catches that pass, it's an entirely different story. And who knows what happens in the AFC Championship at that point or any of this stuff. But how can you say that there's, oh, they have this big glaring need over here or they're missing this key piece over here when the win was right there? They had the win. They've had a lot of wins in the playoffs here that they've just, it's their own doing.
Well, so, Andrews catches, it ties it.
Right.
And they have a minute and a half and maybe Josh Allen.
Well, the one that I'm talking about is, I thought the biggest play was the fumble. Mm-hmm. His fumble was
monumental
because they're going in to score, and you know, I mean, they're getting chunk plays, and they hadn't stopped him, and then he fumbles, and then they go down and get, you know, that was a swing.
And to your point, Ravens don't get blown out. We can't stress that enough. It'd be a cold day in Minsk if we're sitting here going, man, Ravens were down 34-0 at halftime, or 34-0 in the third quarter with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. It just doesn't happen. Do they lose? Obviously, yes. But they're going to need a new kicker, in all honesty. Because Justin Tucker and, you know, we know the serious accusations against him. Even if the Ravens don't make an executive decision, the league office might. So we're going into next year not really knowing who's going to be the place kicker for the team.
Let me ask you this. How many game-winning kicks did he have this year? I don't know that did he have one? I can't recall a game-winning kick that he had, but you can recall some games that he cost them by missing kicks. So, really, when you look at the whole 17 games and everything, you know, kick 70-some percent. You know, I mean, you need a better performance from your kicker next year.
He beat Cincinnati in overtime there.
Okay.
And I think he missed a kick in that game, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was end of regulation.
He had a 51-yarder to win that one. And then the Dallas game, the Ravens were kind of pulling their pants down and spanking that ass, Rashawn. And then Dallas got back in the game. Yeah, that was a blowout that just got close because the Ravens' defense sucked in the fourth quarter.
Well, and then the other thing you got to look at, too, is can the offense duplicate what they did this past year? I mean, because they were like, you know, I mean, can your quarterback throw 41 touchdowns and 4 picks? Are you going to get that again? You know, I mean, that's what's going to be interesting. Because offensively, if they could just stay the same, defensively,
you got to bring it up more.
And we'll talk more about that news from the Nets. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. When we come back, Kevin Willard, 25th ranked Terps, both polls at Nebraska. Cornhuskers have won four in a row. The mayor ain't messing around. They're trying to get back to the big dance. We'll talk to the coach about that and more, and we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. It's Turning Up Tuesday here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday, cracking it up to 12. Idiot Haney, 105.7, the Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Terps in Wisconsin, or excuse me, at Nebraska, coming up on a Thursday. And here to talk about that and more, ranked number 25 in both polls this week. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, head coach, University of Maryland, Kevin Willard. Coach, how you feeling today?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Get your snow shovel, apparently, going on here. All right, I want to start with this, and I know you can't say much about the officiating, but I will. Two kickballs, blatant, against Rutgers. Go back to the Ohio State game. Rice hit a three. They ruled it a two, but replay showed his toe was behind the line. So when you watch these things after the fact, what's the protocol to maybe voice your displeasure with these sorts of decisions?
Yeah, I mean, at this time of year, you know, the one good thing about this league is that you know you're getting three seasoned veteran refs on the game. And I think the biggest thing, and most these guys work so hard, and they work every night. I mean, it is, you know, they're doing games, you know, they're at Wisconsin and they're at Maryland and they're going places. They're going to have mistakes. So at this part of the year, you know, you understand that refs are going to make mistakes. For the most part, they ref them 99% of the time really, really good. There's no reason of losing your mind when they make a mistake.
All right, now the win against Rutgers, it was a spirited game, but you gained control and kind of held them off. Then they got right back in it in the second half. But Derek Queen was brilliant. His performance on a scale of 1 to 10 based on what's already been an incredible freshman year, Kevin, how would you rate that one against the Scarlet Knights there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was dominant. I thought one of the things that we've been talking to Derek about is getting back down low a little bit, you know, using his, you know, he's almost 7 foot now, using his 6'11", 250 frame to get some offensive rebounds, to get some easy buckets, because teams have really started to scout him and load up on him. Some of the ISOs that we ran earlier in the year, you know, teams are just knowing what we're doing with him now. And he's doing a good job of adjusting to what coaches are now really throwing a lot of respect at Derek. So I thought he played phenomenal because he played physical. He was down low. He got a lot of offensive rebounds for easy baskets, and he played just great.
Seldon Miguel in the first half was outstanding. When you watch it, I mean, he's a transfer student, and when he gets hot, coach, as you know, you're the coach of the team, he can really fill it up. When he's kind of in that zone, you're sitting there on the bench watching things unfold. What's going through your mind watching this guy? Hey, it's a 40-footer. No. Oh, nice shot. One of those.
No,
things.
I mean, there's not a bad shot for Selt. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's shooting 44% from three, and I'd much rather him shoot a three than anybody else just because of his percentage, and his catch-and-shoot percentage is almost above 52%. So, you know, I think the good thing about these guys is they know when someone gets hot. You know, Selt was hot in the first half, then Rodney started getting going in the second half, and these guys start looking for each other, which is nice.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Turn it up Tuesday. All right, foul shooting last couple of games, not ideal. How much work's being put in there?
Yeah, I think that's something that's, it's, you know, the tough thing about it is, you know, our highest percentage guys have struggled a little bit. You know, Derek missed four big ones against Ohio State, and, you know, sometimes freshmen do that. So I think the big thing is just getting everybody relaxed at the free throw line. Keep getting the right guys there. I mean, as long as we're getting there, that was one of our weaknesses is, you know, we don't get to the free throw line nearly as much as our conference foes. So it's been a big push for us to get to the free throw line. We just got to now convert.
Hey, Kevin, I hear you talk a lot about, you know, the freshmen, and you refer to the freshmen a lot. Like, my son's a freshman hockey player, and I told him at Penn State, I told him, like, at Christmas, I said, listen, Charlie, I said, you know what? Start a new year. You're not a freshman anymore. Now, you know, you got to be much more comfortable. When do you hit that with the freshmen in basketball? About the same time?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, each kid's different, you know, and again, it's how much are they playing? There's so many different scenarios that go into it, but I think at this point in the season, you know, freshmen are starting to look a lot like sophomores. I still think it's really hard for freshmen because of the COVID year. I think the old rule of, hey, you know, you've played 20 games and, you know, they're playing against guys that have been in college for 6 years. So I still think freshmen are going to look like freshmen at times just because of, you know, we have guys that are in college forever. And so it's just not as simple as going up against other freshmen.
Coach, speaking of freshmen, we talk about Queen, obviously, but Malachi Palmer, highly regarded. You guys love him. Got his minutes because of the illness that hit the team, and you know the tooth got knocked up from Geronimo. But what's the upside for him with his career moving forward in College Park?
Oh yeah, we love Malachi. You know, he's one of the hardest workers. I think he has tremendous upside. I think he's one of the most talented kids we have on the team. And again, he's been kind of because of some of the older guys playing so well, but you know, he's gonna get some minutes coming down the stretch because we need a little. Our bench hasn't been as productive as I'd like it to be. So Malachi gives us some athleticism coming off the bench, a guy that can make a shot, and he's been practicing really good. So we like where Malachi's at.
All right, Nebraska on Thursday night. You guys got them by 3.5 ago down there at the Xfinity Center. They won 4 in a row. The Mayor don't mess around. Hoiberg, they're trying to get back to the big dance. Bryce Williams is a stud. Where are they going to create problems for you guys Thursday night, and how do you try to overcome them?
Well, two big things that we have to overcome is the fact that I tell everybody, it's one of the sneakiest, hardest places to play in college basketball because it's a fan base that no matter what's going on, you know, they're going to get 16,000. They get there 2 hours early. They're into the game. It's a really tough place to play. And Fred does a great job defensively. They really play a weird defensive kind of scheme where they force everything baseline traps, post traps are really aggressive. So we have to score the basketball. We have to kind of get some easy buckets because Fred makes everything difficult.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, Thursday night. You can hear it on the Fan. Terps at the Cornhuskers. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Good luck out there, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Kevin Willard, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset for you. Kevin Allstriker, our other Tuesday. Kevin, talk some Ravens with him. Ravens Wire USA Today, Whip Around 11:15, and Danielle Allentuck talk about the Orioles pitchers and catchers tomorrow. Regular season success, been there, done that multiple times over. Individual achievement, been there, done that multiple times over. When are they getting back to the Super Bowl, and what needs to happen for that to take place? Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, how you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling fantastic, man. Just listening to y'all these past couple of weeks, and I'm sitting here just saying in my mind, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. We've been talking about pass for the Ravens, but like I just told Quick Draw, pass rushers. I mean, go all the way back to when it seemed like every team had that one pass rusher that the offense had to worry about. It's not like that no more. They're rare. And, I mean, I thought, what was the dude for Kansas City, my man Derek, who passed away for KC? I thought he
Derek
was the
Thomas,
second
coming. Yeah.
Yes, right. I thought he was the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. I mean, we can all point to one guy who was always on one team. But when have the Ravens, when was the last time we had Suggs, but to me, Suggs still wasn't in that upper epsilon. I'm going to say that word.
Well,
I think that's
a Hall of Fame dude.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame dude.
One defensive player of the year.
Hey, I'm just saying
Suggs
how I feel, man. I know what he was. I know what he did. But maybe I just overlooked him because he was on my team. But what I'm saying, besides him. You know, I'm not going to go all the way back to 2000, but Suggs is the one guy we did. And I'm just putting him to the side. That's what I'm saying. Recently, it's hard to get that one guy to Myles Garrett or, you know, just naming some guys, the guy with Pittsburgh. I'm trying to figure out around the league on Hendricks for, Cincinnati, I think. I can't remember all of them, but they hard to get. And I hear y'all talking about we don't have that guy. Because those guys are hard to get, and we draft so high in the 20s. What, lowest we ever go is 16. and we never try to go get that guy. And look how that one guy on your defense does make a difference. And that's what – and I think Kansas City offensive line was just worse than it was even when they played Tampa Bay, and they got exposed by the guys on Philly. And they didn't have to blitz. You know, we blitzing all the time because we ain't got that one guy. To me, the Ravens always drafting projects. Y'all think about it. So I'm going to get off the line and let y'all talk about it because I'm getting mad.
You're running hot all of a sudden, Joe Woodbury.
Running hot because
get on that total, Jim. Work on that frustrations, man.
I am going to do that, Bob. But it's nice listening to y'all. So I some of you better callers out there, y'all call in and let me hear y'all talk for a while. Take it easy, brother.
There's Joe and Woodbury. He's wondering where that homegrown pass rush dude is going to be, if anything, Vinny, and you'll be doing your draft profiles after the combine. And we had a couple of draft people on last week. It's a very deep draft for those outside linebacker rush dudes.
So they've got to find that guy, find the guy they like. You know, and Chuck Smith's as good as it is teaching pass rushers. So Chuck will probably be heavily involved, you know, in that. But, you know, like he said, when you're picking late like that, it's hard to get. You got to take. They took Owe, all right? I mean, you're taking a guy that's got height, weight, speed, runs 4.4, but had no sacks. You know, I mean, a guy with no sacks, is he going in the top 10? Hell no. He's not going in the top 10.
But with 11 picks and a deep draft, and you've said it before, this more than any other year, maybe based on need.
Go get him.
Going on up there.
Identify an attack, Bob. Identify an attack. That's, you know, like the year before, like we lost in the championship game to Dallas. That next year, we had two picks that year. We had 15 and something. We traded up to 7. Why? Because we wanted to go get Bryant Young, you know. And what happens is you trade up, you give he's rookie of the year. And one of the reasons why you're going to, and he goes to the Hall of Fame. So it's not a bad thing to go get somebody you know that is a legit player instead of somebody like, well, he's got all the skills. Let's hope that he turns into that guy.
Nolan, what do you think? We talked about David Ajabo yesterday, and he's been a rather disappointing player first couple of years in the league. But Dape Owe had double-digit sacks. I mean, is he a dominant player? Now, there are many times where you're watching the game going, where's that guy?
Right.
And look, counting on 13.5 from Kyle Van Noy. Now, we said it last year with the 9.5. No way he's going to get 9.5. He's right. You got 13.5. I'm guessing that's not going to happen. So if we look at safety, cornerback, pass rusher, what would be the bigger need if DeCosta's looking to move up here and do some damage? Impact player right out of the gate guy.
A pass rush would still probably be the biggest need, but given their draft history at that position, I'd be a little skeptical. You know, call me crazy. If they were going to package some assets and move up in the first round, I'd be a little nervous, just being honest with you, because their track record there, drafting that position, you got to go back to Terrell Suggs to find a hit in the first round like that. And Owe, sure, he's blossomed into something that looks like he's going to be pretty good at his position and could be in line for a big payday a year from now, but it took him a while to get there, and he was a project. He was a project from the day they drafted him. They knew that. Is that really what you want to be doing with your first round picks? I don't know. Their track record there is just a little too shaky for me.
Well, the big thing is Owe will be a free agent after next year, and Van Noy will be a free agent after next year, and he's older. So there is, you know, Adisa Isaac, they don't know that much about him yet either. So, you know, a third rounder, I mean, flip a coin, you're hoping that he turns.
Has Ajabo become got to win a spot out of training camp guy?
He's got, yes. Yeah, where he is right now, Bob, the way he played this, yeah, he's awful. The way he's been playing, he's awful.
Do they have the wherewithal to swing for the fences since baseball's about to start? Garrett Hendrickson, Max Crosby, depending on what they want to do there. Could they be in that ballpark?
I don't think Garrett or Hendrickson, I don't think they'll have a shot just because.
Yeah, Cleveland may be more inclined because they stink, But yeah. Cincinnati's like, what are we going to trade Crosby, this guy to sack Burrow?
Crosby would be, you know, and to me, you would love to have that. I mean, just for the locker room and all the stuff that he brings, Crosby would be a guy that you would love to have in that locker room.
We'll talk more about this subject and more with Kevin Ostreicher next from USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Whip around 11:15. Talk about what happened last night in the world of sports, what happened historically, a couple of cool things. And then Danielle Allen Tuck, talk about the Orioles. Spring training, pitchers and catchers tomorrow. We're looking at the roster, strength, weakness. Do the Orioles have a glaring weakness heading into the two thorny, et cetera.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.